trigger warnings, safe spaces, feeling circles?
Not on your best day, pal.
It's the Daily Review with Keith Hansen.
There you go. War by Bruce Springsteen. Kind of ironic that that song is being done by a guy who never served a day in his life in the military. As a matter of fact, he's a communist libtard. Let's just call it like it is. All right, welcome back to the Friday edition of the Daily Review with me, Keith Hansen, on Nashua Source for News and Talk, 95.3 FM and 1590 AM WSMN. One of the things that I have promised you time and time again is that I will always be well-researched on the topics that I bring you and that I discuss on this program and also on the Keith Hansen Show. Now, that being said, I have also said many times before that if I am wrong, I will admit it. And this is one of those instances where I had a knee-jerk reaction. And I have to admit, my initial assessment was incorrect. Many of you if you're following social media, if you're here in New Hampshire, you're paying attention to a conversation about the gun line. Now, what the gun line is it's literally a line. It's a phone line where if you go to purchase a rifle, a shotgun, a pistol, the dealer, the FFL, the person that you are purchasing that firearm from, calls into the state police. They call into the gun line. Now, normally what would happen is they would do a background check pursuant to the NICS system. This is the federal background check system that is run by the FBI. And normally that would be enough. But the state of New Hampshire takes an additional step. Now, my initial knee-jerk reaction was, well, why do we want to take power away from the state? As a Federalist, it would make sense that, you know, I would want to look out for my interests from a 10th Amendment perspective. Why would we want to give the feds more power? See, but here was the error in my thinking. I didn't really understand the entirety of what the gun line did. There is no way that you are going to remove the federal government from the process of conducting background checks. They do it, and as a matter of fact, they do it in a very efficient manner. What the gun line in this state has done is create another set of background checks. And the delays that people are experiencing. So the beautiful thing about the NICS system is it's an instant check. You walk in, you select the firearm you want to purchase. They do the background check. You fill out your ATF form 4473. They call this in. And oftentimes, and sure, many of you who have purchased firearms before have experienced this. Either while you are on there, while they're on the phone, the FFL is on the phone. Certainly while you are standing in the store, you get an approval. You take your gun home. Well, that's not the case here in New Hampshire. Because of the gun line, we now have a separate set of background checks that are being conducted. And this is causing delays, hours, days, even sometimes weeks. And that's got a lot of gun buyers pretty pissed off. And I got to be honest with you, that's pissed off the vast majority of gun dealers in the state. Now, there is pending legislation right now to eliminate the gun line. And I have to say, at this point, I think it's necessary. And I can, with a better understanding of exactly what that process has become, specifically in the state of New Hampshire, I can say that I support the dismantling of the gun line and leaving it entirely in the hands of the NICS system. Because this is a system that works. It is efficient. And they're already involved. It's not giving any more power to the feds than the feds already have. What it's doing is eliminating an unnecessary and onerous background check here in the state of New Hampshire. Joining me on the WSMN Newsline is the gentleman who actually drafted this piece of legislation. Sean List, he's a National Rifle Association firearms instructor. He's a firearms attorney. He works with the firm of Backus, Meyer, and Branch currently, and he's also a colleague at U.S. Law Shield. He teaches the legal component. I, of course, teach the gunshot wound first aid program. Sean, it is great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for taking time out of your day to jump on and to talk a little bit more about this particular issue and what your piece of legislation seeks to do exactly.
Thanks, Keith. I'm glad to be on the air with you.
Now, and one thing that I know I said earlier as I was doing the introduction on this, that the gun line is involved in the process of pistols, rifles, and shotguns. And in actuality, it's not. The NICS check is involved in all three. If you buy a pistol, if you buy a rifle, if you buy a shotgun, that is going to go to the NICS check. But the gun line, the New Hampshire gun line, only gets involved on the transfer sale of pistols, of handguns. And this is where we're starting to see these waits, these one-day, two-day, three-day, some cases even week-long waiting periods for people to be approved for their firearms, specifically their pistols.
Yeah, believe it or not, Keith, it's actually gotten much worse than that. As it currently stands, there are people that are being delayed not just for a week, oftentimes more than 6 weeks. And there have been several incidents, or instances, where people have been delayed several months. And, you know, as we talk about this issue, one thing that frequently comes up is that people have a difficult time understanding what the gun line is and, frankly, what it does. So if I could, let me just explain to you where the gun line falls in the administration of background checks and the transfer of firearms. So the New Hampshire Gun Line is a division of the Department of Safety Permits and Licensing Unit, okay? And the gun line performs all of the background checks for the purchases of handguns from dealers in the state. So if you go over to Shooter's Outpost and Hookset and you buy a new Glock 19 Gen 5, their Shooter's Outpost is going to be calling the gun line to perform that background check. Additionally, the gun line also performs background checks when individuals motion the court for the return of firearms that have been temporarily seized in relation to court hearings. All of these background checks, as required by federal law, are done using the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, otherwise known as NICS, is the acronym. Rifles and shotguns, although they are not processed by the gun line, they are also going through NICS. So federal law, the Gun Control Act of 1968, as amended by the Brady Act, requires any time there is a transfer of a firearm that's not done by private sale, done by an FFL or a federal firearm licensed dealer, the NICS system has to be queried. So they have to use that NICS system. And the NICS system pulls fundamentally from three different places, from the federal NCIC system, from the what's known as the triple I system that holds interstate records, and also from the NICS indices, which are essentially an index of records with information that has been added in directly, either by states or, federal agencies. So, you know, understanding that, this argument that we're shifting power over to the FBI fundamentally does not make any sense. Make no mistake, if the NICS system shut down, the gun line would also shut down. As we currently stand here today, the gun line is simply the choke point for the transfer of handguns and the return of firearms in court proceedings in New Hampshire.
So the issue here really is, I think one of the things that the gun line is trying to do, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's really creating the presumption that the transfer of a pistol is illegal until it's proven to be otherwise. So it's kind of like the difference between a shall issue state and a may issue state. A shall issue state, well, if there's no precluding factors, then you shall be issued a license, whereas a may issue state is, well, we may issue you a license if we can generate enough evidence that there's a reason not to give it to you. And it's almost it's like the presumption of legality is backwards with the gun line. We're going to go through additional steps to try to disqualify this transaction. Is that an accurate statement?
I would say that it is certainly an accurate statement that they go through additional and unnecessary steps. That being said, the gun line itself, you know, how it responds to inquiries from gun dealers is dictated by federal law. So this goes back to the fact that there is no power transfer by repealing the gun line. We're just removing an extra layer of government that is currently standing in the way of the orderly processing of background checks. Really, what it comes down to is that the gun line, when they obtain information, although the NICS system, it's supposed to be instant, they always, upon the first phone call, will either say, we'll call you back, or they delay the transfer. Now, it's important to understand a couple of things. So first off, the way that federal law works is that when you go into a gun dealer and you fill out the 4473 background check form, that 4473 form is valid for 30 days. Now, on top of that form just being valid for 30 days, federal law also says that a gun dealer is permitted to transfer a firearm on the fourth business day after receiving a delay response. So again, if you go into, you know, say Manchester Firing Line and you want to buy a shotgun, they call up the feds, the NICS system, and the NICS system has to give them one of three answers, either proceed, delay, or deny. Now, when it's a proceed, unlike the gun line, the NICS system, the FBI, they give that answer immediately upon inquiry over the phone. If it's a delay status, then the clock starts running and the FBI has 3 days to get back to the dealer before the firearm can transfer. If it's a deny, most often it's denied immediately. The gun line doesn't work like that. When they delay someone, more often than not, the delay runs more than those 3 or 4 days. Now, it's interesting because in the state of New Hampshire, there are many, many dealers that will not transfer on delay. Because remember, an FFL can always make that determination. But the reason that they won't transfer on delay is that even though a 4473 background check form is only good for 30 days, oftentimes the gun line will call the dealer back 6 weeks later or more and say, denied. And on top of denied, what they'll say is, if that gun's already gone out the door, you need to go get it back. It really is outrageous. So, I mean, there are reasons that any person can get behind repealing the gun line and putting in place a better system. Right now, you have, you know, bread being stolen off the table of FFLs because of the fact that they've got piles of delays because they don't want to transfer on delay and have to go try to fetch a gun back if it's denied. They're delaying transfers to law-abiding individuals who are not prohibited people. And also, you know, any time that the court, like say that someone has a restraining order against them, and their firearms are seized temporarily, even an ex parte order before due process has happened, it's necessary for someone to file a motion for the return of their firearms. Well, the gun line has been so slow that, I kid you not, there are people that petitioned for the return of their firearms, rightfully so, more than 6 months ago and have not received a response from the gun line. So now it's not just an infringement on, you know, the Second Amendment rights of New Hampshire citizens, not to mention our New Hampshire Constitution, Part 1, Articles 2A and 24. Now we're getting into the unlawful seizure and withholding of property without due process. So it's got implications for the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, and the 14th.
Now, the purpose of the gun line, specifically when it comes to the I guess the pistol. I mean, I guess there's, I don't understand really why there's a difference. Why is the why is there a full point of contact for long guns and rifles and shotguns, but then it's partial point of contact for pistols? It still has to go through the gun line. The argument from what I'm hearing for people who are supporting the gun line is that, well, the gun line may pick up on other things that may not be in the federal NCIC system or in III or in BOP or any of the other indices that are used by NICS. But that seems to me that if it's not in NCIC or if it's not in any of the other indices that would be used for that background check, that it's not an issue of the information isn't being reported to those indices. It's that it's not being entered, period. Is that correct?
Exactly.
So it's not.
Yeah, so a couple of things that you said. First off, let me explain to you what full point of contact means versus partial point of contact. So the vast majority of states in the United States are not points of contact for the FBI NICS system. The vast majority allow the NICS system to just do the administration of these checks directly, since it's already their system. A point of contact simply means that the state has agreed voluntarily, agreed is not even the right term, it's really they've just volunteered to be the intermediary between a gun buyer, the FFL, and the FBI NICS. So we are a partial point of contact because we are the point of contact for handguns. We are not a point of contact for long guns. Okay, so here is the issue. The NICS system, it allows state prohibitors to be entered even when there's not a point of contact system. Okay, so as you can imagine, like the state of New York has tons of prohibitors, and the state of Massachusetts, tons of prohibitors that are not prohibitors under federal law. The only thing that a law enforcement agency needs to do, or the court system needs to do, to enter a state prohibitor into NICS is select the code that's already been set up with NICS. Like, so in New Hampshire, you know, you're subject to a domestic violence restraining order that's not qualifying under federal law. And then either supply the person's name and date of birth or name and social security number. And it's important to note that our federal tax dollars are paying the FBI already to run these background checks. But for some reason, we've got this duplicative process in place. Now, you raised a good point. So why is it that we have this partial point of contact system? Well, when the Brady Act was first passed, there was instituted for an interim period of time while the NICS system was being created, there was a 5-day handgun waiting period. So in New Hampshire, in order to get around that 5-day waiting period, and this also happened in other states, a background check system on the state level was created. So at the time that it was created, the gun line made sense. Now we've allowed it to remain, and we've actually given them such breadth in their bureaucratic misfunction that they've really become just an inhibitor to the lawful possession, purchase, and return of firearms.
Who is in opposition to this? Who stands in opposition to this from a lawmaker standpoint? Let's put it that way.
Right. So, you know, it's interesting. The vast majority of firearms groups, you know, are in support of repealing the gun line. You know, as of right now, we're seeing these issues. Because I represent federal firearm license dealers and I represent individuals, you know, in appeals, in justified use of force situations, I'm acutely aware of what's going on. The individuals that are coming out against this bill, like the New Hampshire Firearms Coalition, it seems to be that it's a mixture of a fundamental misunderstanding of what the feds are already currently doing, paired with almost a, tinfoil hat conspiracy level belief that, somehow the NICS system is tied into, issues going on with the ATF with pistol braces, with the Poly 80, making the 80% lowers. It really is bizarre. So I want to say this again. If the NICS system shut down, if the FBI shut down the NICS system, or say the incoming Biden administration shut down the NICS system, it would shut down the state gun line. Under federal law, if you look at the code of federal rules, okay, if you look at chapter 28, if you look at chapter 27, you will see that the code of federal regulations, I said rules, actually regulations, the code of federal regulations very clearly places all of the authority regarding the transfer of firearms in the background check system with the federal government. And this isn't something where it's, only that the gun line is logging into the NICS system. They are logging into the NICS system, but it's not just that they're using the Fed system. They have to very specifically supply information when certain things happen regarding background checks. So, for example, if there is a background check that comes back, it's delayed, they decide it's delayed, and the transaction hasn't been resolved by the end of that day, they have to send that as a message to NICS. If there's a denied transaction, they have to send that message to NICS. And when I say NICS, I mean agents with the FBI. If there is a transaction that's pending as delayed, but then it's changed to a proceed, they have to send that to NICS. If it's denied, but then overturned, they have to send it to NICS. So the FBI is fundamentally involved. And here's the thing, too. Anyone can research this easily because it is posted online. The FBI's average response time, going all the way back to its inception, is measured in within seconds, okay? It is not, their average time is never even 24 hours or more. It is a totally different world when you're running background checks for long guns in New Hampshire directly through the feds than handguns through the gun line. And I want to touch on one other thing as well. As of right now, the gun line is not giving people due process. And I represent individuals appealing wrongful denials of their attempt to purchase a firearm. So if you're denied the purchase of a rifle, the FBI will give you a quick turnaround time on an appeal. They, under federal law, they have to supply you a reason that you were denied within 5 days of receiving and writing a request. And then they do the entire appeal process inside of 30 days. The gun line, on the other hand, let's put it this way. The gun line has been so Orwellian with due process in trying to overturn wrongful denials that the way that I have gotten them to respond to me, representing clients, is by contacting the Attorney General's office and threatening to sue the gun line. An individual who doesn't, have the money to pay a lawyer out of pocket, good luck. It would take a miracle for the gun line to actually give you due process and allow you to demonstrate that, whatever presumption they made that you are a prohibited person is wrong. So just to kind of crystallize all the issues, right now we are paying money to have an additional layer of government that the feds are already involved in, and we're paying money to have this additional layer delay the transfer of firearms to law-abiding purchasers, delay the right of people and deny the right of people to get their already owned firearms property back, to not give us due process. And, oh, yeah, by the way, here's the other little side note. There are still some dealers that have to transfer on delay, otherwise they would go out of business. And because the gun line is so slow, there are prohibited individuals that can get their hands on guns through the gun line. So getting back to that issue where dealers do not want to transfer a firearm on delay, because in 6 weeks the gun line may call back and say, that's a denial, go get that gun. That denial is someone who is federally prohibited from owning a firearm. And because the gun line is so slow, they got their mitts on one. That happens. There are so many accounts of that happening. You know, I want to see when this bill comes up, someone from the gun line being called to testify, because I can tell you there's a lot of explaining to do.
That's crazy to think that prohibited people are actually able to get firearms because of this. That's all the more reason that we have to get rid of it. Sean, we're coming up at the top of the hour here, so unfortunately we have to cut this short. I appreciate this as a primer, so to speak. I want to get you back on again to have additional conversation about this and follow the piece of legislation that you drafted and give people an opportunity to ask questions as well, too, because I know there's a lot of confusion about there. Sean List, attorney at law, Backus Meyer and Branch, I want to thank you so much for coming on the program today. Keep in touch and keep us updated as to what's going on with this as this works its way through Concord.
And remember, starting February 1st, I'm opening my own firm with two lawyers in Concord, which will be called Lehman Major List. If anyone needs to reach out with a firearms issue, you can find me there.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much. And that is going to do it for the Friday edition of the Daily Review. I will be back tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time to do it all over again with the Keith Hansen Show. And, of course, I will be back Monday at 2 p.m. for the Monday edition of the Daily Review. Until then, stay safe, be well, have a great weekend, and please remember, civility works. Be nice to one another.